back, folks. Second hour of War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison. We're going to be joined in the next segment by my Moonbase Live co-host, Lebanon John. He's going to give us an update as to what is unfolding in Lebanon, as that has become a very important front in this war. We're covering in the last segment this story. U.S. troops were told Iran war is Armageddon and the return of Jesus. This is from jonathanlarson.substack.com. And I just want to note that this wasn't a one-off. This wasn't one particular, you know, religious extremist, evangelical, you know, CO that's telling his troops, like, we're involved in something, you know, significant here. No, no. This, they actually found over 100 complaints from something like 40 different military installations, meaning that this was like a memo that went out. This was like an organized, choreographed thing. They sent out a message to their leadership saying, hey, tell your troops that this is why we're going to fight. Because, you know, we have to start the end of the world so we can build the third temple and usher in the Antichrist, and then all of the non-Jews can be the slaves of the Jews. Aren't you excited for that? Aren't you so excited to be a part of this wonderful transformation into hell on earth? Meanwhile, a 2009 white paper from America suggests using failed talks as a scapegoat for Iran regime change war. A think tank analysis document from 2009 outlined how the U.S. or Israel could launch a regime change war on Iran under the guise of negotiations, using the cover of failed diplomacy to curry public favor for an otherwise unpopular conflict. That was in a white paper called Which Path to Persia. This story can be found at Infowars.com, which sort of explains a lot, because when it comes to Iran, they say they don't know why the negotiations failed, that basically we are in the middle of negotiations and we decided to start attacking them. Iran's foreign minister said he's unsure why U.S. attacked during nuclear talks. Here's the foreign minister of Iran.
Is the negotiated settlement with the United States still possible?
Well, you answered this question. We negotiated with the United States twice in the past 12 months. And in both cases, they attacked us in the middle of negotiation. And that has become a very bitter experience for us. In last June, we were negotiating. We had five rounds of negotiations, and we had already fixed the sixth round for 15 June when the Israeli attacked us, and then the U.S. joined the attack. And this time, we had three rounds. Last Thursday, we had a very good discussion, very good talks in Geneva. The both Iranian and the U.S. delegation were happy at the end of 7 hours of negotiations. And I can go into the details of what we agreed and how a deal was at our reach. And when we concluded, the Omani foreign minister, who was the impartial intermediator between us, he concluded by saying in his post that we made significant progress this time. We were able to come to a good understanding on some of our differences. Some other differences were left for the next meeting, and we decided to go for Vienna, to send our technical teams to Vienna on Monday, which means tomorrow, to go to the IAEA, and with the help of the International Atomic Energy Organization, try to find technical solutions for the political problems. And we both believed, the both delegations believed that this is possible. So a deal was at our reach, and we left Geneva happily with the understanding that we can reach a deal next time we meet. And it was very unfortunate that those who are against against peace, against diplomacy, against negotiation, when they understood that diplomacy is going on well, they decided to spoil it, and they created a buildup in the media, against the Islamic Republic of Iran, against, the desires of us, against,
So again, we're in the middle of negotiations with these people, and we just decide to attack them. And again, it's like, why would anybody want to negotiate with us ever again? Now, according to RT on X, Iran is claiming they just shot down an F-15, which would be another, major development in this conflict. Lebanon John joins me on the other side to break down the latest. Don't go anywhere.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening Our species is seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour is on. This is the War Room. I should probably tell you we're about to be joined by Lebanon John to break down the latest of what's going on in the Middle East, but it's probably about dang time that I let you know about the incredible sales we have on thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is, of course, the only way that you can support us, and if you've been watching this coverage, it's probably not a wonder why. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have any agreements or partnerships with big corporations because we like to say the truth, and that's inconvenient to these other organizations. To us, it's what it's all about. And so if you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com, we will continue to tell the truth regardless of who likes it and who doesn't. And we make it so easy for you to do so. We have incredible products, whether it's the merchandise and the hats and the shirts that are just awesome design. There's new ones every day. Or the supplements, which are life-changing. And you hear people call in practically every day talking about how they thought they were just getting old, or thought they just had that pain in their arm and that was just the way life was, until they start supplementing, realize that they are missing some sort of, necessary component in their diet and get better. It's really amazing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not making any medical claims, but you don't know what this stuff can do until you try it yourself. And thealexjonesstore.com is just the best quality supplements you can find. So don't waste your time trying to determine which brand is better and which has more. TheAlexJonesStore.com, best of the best, plus everything you purchase from The Alex Jones Store goes directly into supporting this mission, our outlet, InfoWars, as we continue on into the future. And right now you can get 25% off all t-shirts, hats, and hoodies, as well as The Alex Jones Store March Mega Sale. You're getting 30 to 40% off all supplements. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now, with that, I'm very happy to welcome my co-host from Moonbase Live. You can watch us by going to Rumble and searching Moonbase Live. You can follow John on X at Lebanon_John. He's an American. People get the wrong idea. Lebanon John is of Lebanese extraction, but he was born here in America and simply follows along what's going on in Lebanon and has a unique view in that regard. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, where are we at, man? What's going on with Lebanon? The latest I heard was that, well, I don't even know what I've heard, because I've heard that Hezbollah was getting involved. I heard that Israel is planning an invasion force into Lebanon, but I don't know what to give credence to. What's happening between Israel and Lebanon right now?
Yeah, so it's been about a year and a half of a ceasefire that was agreed upon, and Israel has never really honored that ceasefire, and Hezbollah has tried to honor that ceasefire to, very similar to Iran, to create a PR image that, hey, look, we're trying diplomacy. We're giving diplomacy a chance, right? That's what Iran was doing. That's what Hezbollah did. Because they want to show the world that, they're not the aggressor. That's their objective with this strategy of engaging in diplomacy or respecting a ceasefire that is just like a one-way ceasefire that's constantly being violated by the other side, because that seems, silly. But the reason why they're doing that is they want to show that they're not the aggressors, okay? So it's been a year and a half. Israel violates the ceasefire constantly. The United States government has been pressuring the Lebanese state to actually take action against the civilian resistance against Israeli occupation. So for those of that don't know, South Lebanon was occupied by Israel for like 18 years. and there's a guerrilla war to expel them. And then they tried to reinvade in 2006 and lost head-to-head. And then they tried to reinvade again after the October 7th war. And they lost really bad in that war. They couldn't even take a single town on the border, even with 70,000 people. And, you know, they used their Air Force to blow up a lot of stuff in Lebanon, but the ground invasion just totally failed. So instead, they used political machinations, and they're using the state against Hezbollah and forcing a one-sided ceasefire to then start annexing land and building, like, outposts and, like, taking over land and stuff like that. Now, everything was flattened in South Lebanon in this last go-around. And then since the ceasefire, Hezbollah hasn't done anything. They haven't done any drones, any missiles. They haven't poked up their head. They've done nothing at all. And Lebanese government has been confiscating weapons here and there every couple of months. And Israelis have had, you know, free roam of the south. And it's, you know, you can remember everybody said, oh, okay, I guess Hezbollah is done for. They seem really wounded. They did all these crazy operations against them. And that's what everyone thought. And so then the Israeli military was having a cabinet meeting about 2-3 days ago to decide to do a surprise attack, a preemptive attack to surge and invade with this time 100,000 tanks and 100,000 people in tanks and armored vehicles, you know, under air cover to try to annex and eradicate Hezbollah's population stronghold in South Lebanon once and for all. And then right as they were making that decision to preemptively attack Hezbollah, we don't really know how Hezbollah did this. I guess they could just tell by reading the troop maneuvers. But somehow they knew it was going to happen, and then they attacked Israel, like right before Israel could attack them and caught Israel off guard. So then out of nowhere, after a year and a half, Hezbollah fires a couple rockets at Israel, and they said, okay, this is like, you know, us kind of, you know, Hezbollah's like, we are kind of jumping in the war here because you guys have been violating the ceasefire for a year and a half. We can't just keep taking this. And also, this is kind of like revenge for killing their Shiite, you know, religious leader, whatever his name is, Ayatollah Khomeini. And so then Israel starts bombing Lebanon like crazy, as usual. It's been like that since, you know, the 80s. And then starts to invade. And at the same time, something really unprecedented happens. Under severe pressure from the United States government, the Lebanese state officially outlaws any resistance against Israel and then withdraws the state army way back and essentially just cedes southern Lebanon entirely to Israel and just welcomes in 100,000 Israeli soldiers. And anybody who's found attempting to resist that is now an enemy of the state, and they're arresting Hezbollah fighters at checkpoints. And they're saying, you know, we this decision is final. We will never reverse on it. Oh, I forgot to mention, Israel told all the civilians in all these towns in South Lebanon, you need to leave because we're going to blow everything up. And so then all the freeways got packed. A huge exodus of just thousands and thousands and thousands of civilians stuck on the freeway for like 10 hours straight. No food, no water, no police, no government assistance whatsoever. Total abandonment by the state. Now they're just having to live in people's homes all throughout the country, that people of other confessions and other sects are just welcoming these Shiites of South Lebanon into their homes all throughout the entire country, because basically, like, the bottom third of the country has been displaced now into the rest of the country, because everybody knows Israel, this is, they're going for broke, and the plan was this would be the end of the Iranian regime. Simultaneously, this would be the end of Hezbollah, which is of the same religion and ideology somewhat as the Iranian regime. So they're going for broke to resist, to eliminate what they call the Shiite axis of resistance once and for all, right? Does this make sense so far?
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't heard of any of this. The AP has the article. I'm going to scroll up to the headline. Lebanon's leaders turn on Hezbollah as airstrikes hit Beirut and thousands seek shelter. So this is the story from yesterday, but I had not been aware of that the Lebanese government itself basically just said, okay, you know, everybody out, we're giving this over to Israel. This is what it says. Lebanon's health ministry reported at least 52 people were killed and 154 wounded in overnight strikes in the Beirut suburbs in southern Lebanon. The Ministry of Education said schools would be closed Tuesday because of the situation. During the day, Israel's military carried out dozens of airstrikes on Beirut's southern suburbs, as well as southern and eastern Lebanon shortly after sunset. An Israeli airstrike in a Beirut neighborhood caused widespread damage, and the Israeli military said it targeted a senior Hezbollah official. So, yeah, they've been striking Lebanon pretty relentlessly the last couple of days. And now the Lebanese government has basically abandoned the whole southern part of their country and just handed it over to Israel. I mean, I can understand that Israel is striking out in all directions right now, right, on the same day that they're, you know, getting America to attack Iran. They're going after West Bank settlements and expanding those. They're constantly, you know, doing incursions into Syria, the Golan Heights they've been able to capture from, you know, after ousting Bashar al-Assad. So I understand that they have been desperate to get into southern Lebanon and reclaim it for a long time. Why would the Lebanese government go along with this?
So the commander of the army, using his very limited resources, where he's been intentionally hamstrung by the United States, who is the sponsor of the Lebanese army, he has been intentionally hamstrung in the sense of his equipment and capabilities. He proposed to the president of Lebanon a way that he would be able to defend against the Israeli invasion of 100,000 enemies with state-of-the-art tanks and jets, that with his very modest capabilities in Lebanese army, that he formulated an effective defense strategy to defend the land from occupation. And he proposed it to the Lebanese president, and the Lebanese president started shouting at him and told him, absolutely not, withdraw all the soldiers. We are absolutely not going to fight against Israel whatsoever. And we are, it seems to me that the Lebanese president is worried that he's going to get blown up right in his presidential palace, that if he resists Israel, that the Lebanese state, being an above ground, out in the open, state, that it cannot fight Israel. And you see that going on all over the world, right? Because in Iran, you see Donald Trump and all these other guys being like, President Donald Trump, you see all of them being like, well, it's pretty much blown up everything there is to blown up, you know, almost mission accomplished. They don't really have much left, but Iran is pummeling Israel constantly. So what that means is that all the military assets above the ground that they can just hit with jets are vulnerable and can be taken out in any second. But all the military assets that are underground, those are the ones that actually require invasion to be eliminated. That's why Hamas is still standing in Gaza, because they didn't actually invade these tunnels. So same thing in Iran. They're saying, oh, we've taken out all their capabilities, which is, you know, nobody, how could they say that? They're saying that today. How can they say that we're basically done? We've taken out everything. And look, Iran is still firing even crazier missiles than ever constantly. They just down in the 15. I thought they didn't have any more air defense systems. You know, everyone who believes that stuff, look, people, we got to stop believing state propaganda. Any state, state propaganda is almost always not true. You know, there's the hilarious joke where you don't know if it's true until the government officially denies it. Right. Then you know it's true. And so it's exactly like this, where they're like saying, well, maybe it is going to be a forever war. That's a bluff. What he's saying is, I really hope this ends quickly. It's always the exact opposite of what they're saying. They're basically doing doublespeak, and they're not actually telling the truth. But anyway, so the Lebanese resistance at this point, facing, you know, just recovering from a huge war that just happened where everything got blown up like crazy, they're facing all the satellite power and technological power of remote sensing, which is satellites and drones, all kinds of stuff, on a tiny little area that's half the size of Rhode Island, with the cumulative technological monitoring capabilities of basically the entire West monitoring this tiny, tiny little space. They can't even stick their neck out for a second without getting immediately blown up. If a rocket is fired from Lebanon, Israel, in an automated way, will hit that exact same spot in a minute or less with five different types of ammunition. Five different kinds of ammunition will automatically hit the exact spot that the rocket came out of. So the technological capabilities against Hezbollah is truly unbelievable. People don't even know how crazy it is. And Israel now is just was just welcomed in, and they just were starting to walk right in, and everyone was really nervous, and everyone said, is this the end? Is this the end of Lebanon? Because simultaneously, as the Israelis are occupying the bottom half, they would invite Jolani and his ISIS horde to sweep in from the other side, which is a repeat or a rhyme of history, because in history, this happened again, where Israel and Syria split Lebanon in half, and both sides, but they occupied half of Lebanon, the other half. And so that already happened before with Assad, but this time it would be Jolani. Jolani, being a religious extremist, Wahhabi, Sunni Muslim, he would oppress the Christians, slaughter all the Shiites, and annex Lebanon into like a caliphate. And the thing is, these radical Sunni Muslims are allied with Israel in the form of Saudi Arabia and the Grand Mufti of Mecca and these kind of Muslims. So the United States said, hey, this guy in Syria is willing to take over Lebanon. I just got to give him the green light. He said he'll come in and deal with Hezbollah anytime. And they're amassing thousands and thousands of troops and military equipment because they're totally sponsored by the West now. They're not hamstrung like the Lebanese state. They have access to tons of good equipment. And this horde of Sunni Muslims, full of Central and Turkic people from all the way from Chechnya, Dagestan, Turkmenistan, you name it, that brought them all to Syria, an infinite horde of Sunni Muslims radicalized by this Wahhabi Sunni ideology. There's a huge army of them under Jolani in Syria, and they could be given the green light to sweep into Lebanon at any moment. And people think that, so right now, the resistance, Hezbollah in Lebanon, has to face the Lebanese state outlawing them, the terrorist horde of Sunnis sweeping in, and local collaborators who are allied to the terrorists as well, and then local collaborators who are allied to Israel, and then an Israeli invasion from the south, as well as the cumulative might of the Western surveillance right over their heads, in all in an area half the size of Rhode Island. So people basically said, it's over. This is Mission Impossible. There's no way. There's no way they can recover from the past war and do anything. But then today, amazing things have been happening that is going to be, you know, written down in history books. Right on the border, Israeli tanks are getting blown up. They can't find any Hezbollah guys, but they're getting blown up. They don't see who's blowing them up, but they're just getting blown up. Already five tanks have been blown up, and they're hitting missiles in Israel from Lebanon, and the Israelis are saying, this is totally different than Iran, where you have a couple minutes to prepare. This hits us instantly, and we have no way to prepare. And the list of things Hezbollah is doing, they're constantly publishing. And unlike Iran and unlike Israel, they don't publish AI videos, and they don't claim things that are totally not true. Hezbollah has a media department that shows evidence and proof of every little thing they do. And they've already blown up five tanks right on the border, which Israel has been walking over this land for a long time. No one thought Hezbollah still had control over that land. And so today, Israel is even having to pull back from certain Lebanese towns. And all the civilians of North Israel have abandoned their homes and are fleeing, and now they're refugees in their own country because they don't feel that their government can protect them. And so the war against Lebanon is going very badly right now. They basically made zero progress. They're being blown up from places they can't figure out from where. They can't even find the Hezbollah fighters to engage them. All they can do is bomb civilians with their jets. And so you might say, oh, that's good news. Maybe. But then they're just going to tell this terrorist from Syria to invade and take over Lebanon. So this is only the beginning. And then Lindsey Graham is demanding that Donald Trump use the United States directly against Hezbollah because Israel's losing. Right. So now Lindsey Graham is campaigning that he wants the United States to get directly involved. But the United States is going to be much of the same as Israeli involvement because it's just more F-35s bombing stuff. But that's never been since 2006, when 2006 war, when Israel invaded Lebanon in 2006, they failed in this 33-day war. They did the Winograd Commission to analyze why they failed with Western military experts, and they concluded that an aerial bombardment is not strategically decisive in these kind of conflicts. So even if Lindsey Graham got his wish, and they brought more F-35s to bomb more stuff in Lebanon, that doesn't mean they'll beat Hezbollah. In the end, they never even beat Hamas with that strategy. You have to actually go in the tunnels. But these are like booby trap tunnels. These are scary tunnels to go in. And it's, you know, it's terrifying to go in these tunnels. So Lindsey Graham, if he's not controlled, will probably say, let's send United States Marines into the Hezbollah tunnels, which is like a suicide mission. But these people are crazy.
Wow. Okay. So that's absolutely wild. And I'm just trying to like keep up with what you're saying by searching it myself on X. And yeah, it looks like Hezbollah claimed 13 successful missions as of this morning. Hezbollah and Israeli forces are fighting a ground battle right now. Where are Hezbollah's missiles? Because for a long time, right, there was, you know, touted they had tens of thousands of missiles. They could make them themselves. A lot of them were Iranian made. I know they've entered a little bit into the contest and fired missiles. Is it that automated response that's sort of keeping their missile batteries quiet, or are they launching missiles? Where's the Hezbollah missile cadre that we've heard about for years?
Yeah, it has to stay underground. As soon as they pop out, it is immediately detected and destroyed. The missile launchers, very similar to what's going on in Iran, the cumulative surveillance power is 24/7 seeking where where they pop out at, because they don't know until they open the hatch. And so sometimes they, you know, find secret ways to launch maybe from a forest or underneath some cover, but there's all kinds of remote sensing technologies like ground penetrating radar or LIDAR, all kinds of stuff that technologically has been developed by the smartest people all over the world, who then are, you know, brought to the West to develop this technology. And if you do well enough, they bring you into, you know, Lockheed Martin or whatever it is, to develop all this technology that they have that is then used specifically against basically Iran, Lebanon, and, you know, Palestine. And it could be like Chinese engineers, Indian engineers, you know, you name it. It's the cream of the crop of the entire world, the smartest kids, the smartest talent, the smartest youth with unlimited budget to use every physical possible means to stop these guys from defending their country. Like, to be blunt with you guys, that's really what it is. And this is just the civilians of Lebanon, by the way. Like, it's important that people understand. This is literally just the civilians of Lebanon. This isn't like a government. This is just the people who want to hold on to their village that has like olive trees and like goats and like grapevines. Like, that's it. Like, all of this is a battle over like just like a village. But it's their home. You know, you can't, it's not like there's some very important natural resource in South Lebanon. There's nothing there. It's just a humble place. But these people don't want to abandon their homes. So they've gone through all this length to create all this apparatus to defend their home. And so if they pop out, basically they're dead. It's mission impossible. So they're going to, what they've done now is they've coordinated their drones and missile strikes with Iran, because now Iran and Hezbollah and all these guys are using Chinese satellite footage, which cannot be jammed. And they have the capability now, you know, it's like a Hezbollah guy can basically call in an airstrike where an Iranian ballistic missile can hit whatever coordinates that he wants. And they're going to coordinate that to soften up the air defense, overwhelm the air defense, and confuse the air defense to hit the exact positions they want. And so, like, the latest news coming out of Lebanon is there's, like, a conglomeration or a meeting place of Israeli troops preparing for the invasion, and then Hezbollah hit it and ambushes them. And they get hit. And then there's drones coming in from Lebanon, and Israel panics to hit them. And then at the same time, ballistic missiles come from Iran. And then missiles are hitting Tel Aviv from Lebanon at the same time. And it's just going very badly for Israel right now. Iran and Hezbollah are kind of coordinating in a way that no one's ever seen before. So it's things are getting completely out of hand. And the most likely scenario next is for Donald Trump to say, okay, send in these Sunni proxies, send in the ISIS guys, and activate the local collaborators who are all radicalized by Sunni-funded, by Saudi-funded Sunni mosques. They go to these Wahhabi mosques, and they make them into very violent, very radical people. And so there's a segment of the Lebanese society that's pro-Jolani, that believes that Jolani should take over Lebanon, and that it should just be a Sunni caliphate running the whole thing. And so that's the Israeli desire. The Israeli desire is to eliminate this Shiite problem, get rid of Iran, get rid of Hezbollah. And what do they say on the news? Oh, the next problem is Muslim Brotherhood. The next problem is Turkey.
Yep.
And so that's their vision. Their vision is to create, if you read Albert Pike's World War III
Tell you what, stay on the line, John, because I want to come back and I want to show the video that just broke. You referenced it, of Lindsey Graham telling Trump to go after a Hezbollah, and get your comments on that on the other side. Stay with us, folks. More to come. Don't go anywhere.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together, that's all of us, against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the OutlookShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Outlook Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheologyStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheologyStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheologyStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? A gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
One thing to President Trump, in case you're watching. In 1983, Ronald Reagan sent Marines and sailors to try to police and deal with the Lebanese Civil War. They were at the end of the runway. Hezbollah attacked the Marine barracks, killed 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and wounded 100 others. Ronald Reagan, who I admire and love, withdrew and never did anything about it. So I'm calling on President Trump today. Join Israel to attack Hezbollah. Avenge the Marines. America never forgets. Those 220 Marines and 18 sailors' families, we want to go after the infrastructure that killed your loved ones. There are IRGC assets in Beirut as I speak. President Trump, come up with a new operation called Simplify. Fly with Israel and go after Hezbollah, who has American blood on its hands. Not only take the mothership of Iran down, also take the proxy of Hezbollah. Settle the score, even the account.
Yeah, so there's Lindsey Graham calling on President Trump to go to war with Hezbollah now to avenge the Marines that were killed in 1983, despite the fact that Hezbollah wasn't founded until 1985. But don't let little things like temporal consistency get in the way of another good war. With me on the line is Lebanon John. You can follow him on X at Lebanon underscore John. He's my co-host on Moonbase Live. You can follow us on X at Moonbase Live or on Rumble as well. And John's been providing very thorough updates throughout the conflict over the last couple of days. What's your take on that, John, hearing Lindsey Graham encourage Trump to take revenge for the Hezbollah that killed all those Marines all those years ago?
That is his accent. You do the accent really well. Man, that's funny. We got to get you a Lindsey Graham mask and do the impersonation. That would be hilarious. No, you know, that Marines thing is a sad story, no doubt about it. But that was a crazy time period. And then the United States, indiscriminately killed a bunch of people at that time. And then Ronald Reagan said, okay, this is a direct quote from Ronald Reagan. He said, I underestimated the irrationality of the politics of the region, and I'm getting out. Now, the Lebanese Civil War is the playbook that they're going to run on everybody next. That's their ultimate plan. So the Lebanese Civil War, they split every single person. They said, you have to be with Team A or Team B, whatever you want to call it, the Hegelian dialectic or just divide and conquer. They said, you got to be with the Crusaders or you got to be with the Caliphate. There's no, we don't accept that, you know, neutral. You got to pick one or the other. And in reality, the leaders of this Crusader faction, the leaders of this Caliphate faction, they're actually friends, but they make everyone else fight and kill each other. But they're actually friends, and they're actually on the same team. What ended up happening was this division enabled the conquering from Israel. So, of course, it's like it's not a binary system where there's option A or option B. It's a rock, paper, scissors. It's Christian, Jewish, Muslim. But they don't want you to think about that. And so they're going to make Christians and Muslims fight each other, and then the Jews will be de facto coming out on top. So their vision for World War III, according to Albert Pike, and how they're going to roll out the Antichrist as a peacemaker, a beloved peacemaker that is globally accepted by all these different sides, is they want to orchestrate a monolithic single Islamic faction versus a monolithic single Christian faction. So it'll be the Christian Zionists and the Vatican versus Sunni Muslims. And this is a fake war, which they have planned. Now, the war is going to be real, but the leadership is totally on the same team on either side here. And that's exactly what the Lebanese Civil War was. So it's like they didn't update the playbook. They didn't educate anybody about what happened in the Lebanese Civil War. No one knows anything about it because they plan on running this exact same PSYOP, this exact same play on a grander scale, on a global scale. So in order to set the stage for World War III and the rolling out of the Antichrist, they need to eliminate the legitimate resistance against Israel and instead have a controlled opposition resistance against Israel. For example, right. Al-Jolani and Turkey and Saudi Arabia. These guys totally work for Israel since forever. They've always worked with and for Israel. But after they get, after, according to their plan, if they achieve their plan, there'd be no more Shiite resistance, there'd be no more Hezbollah, there'd be no more Iran. Then they've already said in the news, okay, after that, then it's going to be Saudi Arabia and Turkey. They're totally, you know, jumping the gun and thinking a couple steps ahead, looking past Iran, looking past Hezbollah as opponents, and thinking, oh, yeah, we totally got this in the bag. Now then the next step is going to be ISIS is just the whole Middle East. The Muslim Brotherhood is just the whole Middle East, and we're going to have to do a crusade and a huge global war. Because you can actually read Albert Pike's World War III prophecy. It is exactly that. And then they say both sides will eliminate each other, and then we'll be able to roll out essentially satanic worship and Luciferianism straight in everyone's face once we eliminate Christianity and Islam once and for all in World War III. So this is not World War III. This is setting the stage for their plan and their vision for World War III. Now, the truth is, it doesn't look like Iran's going anywhere, and it doesn't look like Hezbollah's going anywhere, to be honest with you guys. I know what Lindsey Graham's saying. What Lindsey Graham is saying is they want to eliminate the legitimate grassroots resistance found in Iran, found in Hezbollah. This is not controlled opposition. This is actual resistance. Instead, they want a fake resistance. They want kabuki theater. They want, kifab. They want a resistance against Israel that is cartoonish version of Islam, the ISIS version of Islam, this evil, you know, version of Islam that just kills all the Christians and wants to do jihad against all the Jews. And then they can, you know, call for a crusade against them. And that's their vision for World War III. So, you know, that's not actually what's going to happen, though. I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying that's what's going to happen. You know, God is in control. They're not God. And God's plan is totally different than their plan. But that's what's going on right now. We're seeing them setting the stage for World War III, where they have this vision. So So they want to eliminate the Shiite resistance, and they want to only have this controlled opposition, this phony war that they're going to set up, and they're going to divide everybody in the world. You're going to have to pick a side. You've got to be with the Crusaders, or you're going to have to be with the Caliphate, and they're going to divide the whole world into one or two groups, and then the Antichrist will come out and make peace and end war, and that's their vision for how they're going to roll out the Antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely, and I want to ask you a little bit more about that, but I did want to note this since we were talking about the Beirut bombing in 1983 from Lucas Gage on X. A lot of Marines are saying the U.S. strikes are revenge for the 1983 Beirut bombings. Do they know that former Mossad agent Viktor Ostrovsky said about them? And basically, Viktor Ostrovsky's key claims on the 1983 Beirut barracks bombings are that a Mossad informant who monitored smuggling in Beirut reported that Shiite militants were modifying a large Mercedes truck with hidden compartments for a massive bomb. Mossad analysts concluded that the truck's size limited targets to a few high-profile sites, with the U.S. Marine barracks as a prime vulnerable candidate. The info reached Mossad director Nahum Adamoni, who decided against sharing specifics with the Americans. Instead, they sent only a vague routine warning of, quote, possible operations against you. Full details, including truck description, were shared with Israeli sites in the area for their own protection. The motive was avoid risking the informant, let the U.S. face consequences for intervening in Lebanon, sour U.S.-Arab relations to Israel's benefits to, quote, teach the Americans a lesson. Ostrovsky quotes Admani, paraphrased, quote, no, we're not going to protect the Americans. They're a big country. The result, the described truck bombed the Marine barracks on October 23rd, 1983, killing 241 U.S. personnel. So again, this is a former Mossad agent who wrote a book saying that Mossad and Israel knew about the truck bombing plot and deliberately chose to not tell America at it because it was more beneficial for them if we, as America, were to be bombed and have a reason to go to war. Like, it was, you know, it's just a very convenient way to, again, get America involved in a conflict that we don't really have anything to do with. So I think it's important to point that out, that if you're talking about the 1983 truck bombing, first of all, Hezbollah didn't even exist then, so to call it a Hezbollah truck bombing is not even accurate. But if you want to point fingers at who's to blame, Israel holds, you know, a large share of the blame for that. But just before I let you go, John, and thank you for being on with us. And again, I encourage people to go follow John at Lebanon_John. And he's been providing a bunch of really good information throughout the last few days that I haven't found anywhere else. So your sources are very impeccable, John. But I want to ask you about the religious aspects of this conflict, because there are a lot of them and they're becoming impossible to ignore. Randy Fine, big fat Congressman Randy Fine, says 2,400 years ago, we took out the ruler of Persia who would kill us all, and we did it again this year. Happy Purim. You don't need to be Jewish to celebrate it. The Purim War against Iran, right? So they're like celebrating and advertising like, yeah, we did this on a religious holiday. So I guess America war activity is dictated by the like holiday schedule of the Jews. That's great. U.S. troops, meanwhile, were told that the Iran war is, quote, for Armageddon and the return of Jesus. So apparently this memo went out where they're telling people, yeah, this is about ushering in the you know, apocalypse and Jesus returning. And it's just like, how did we get to the point that this apocalyptic death cult Jewish extremism is just being like openly advertised now as like why we do things? Why are we going to war with Iran? Because I don't know, the rabbi told us to. It's like completely insane how this, again, radical extremist Jewish death cult is openly operating, like using the power of the American military to its own ends. Can you shed some light on this for me, John? Like, what is your interpretation of the way that the Purim thing and the apocalyptic thing has become this mainstream talking point now?
Yes. So basically, the United States is ruled by, there's a state religion, is essentially what you were uncovering, is that everyone growing up, we all were told that there is no official state religion. Well, apparently there is, and apparently there always has been. And so the official state religion is, you know, it's basically a form of Christianity that believes that you have to create a massive war, you know, like what George Bush told Charles de Gaulle. Mm-hmm. Where you have to create this massive war to bring about the second coming of Christ. because they're going to call the Antichrist the second coming of Christ. And so they already are lining up their believers to believe in the Antichrist. They're preparing them from now that the arrival of the Antichrist would be a good thing. Now, I don't think any of this is actually going to come to fruition the way that they think it is. But we do have a First Amendment. We do have a freedom of religion. We do have a separation of church and state. So we've basically exposed them right now. And Americans need to drive this home, where I don't ascribe to that particular theology, and I cannot be forced to have a state religion. And we have to vote to go to war. We cannot go to war based on a particular religious interpretation. We never had a vote on that, and that's, you know, it's a secret state religion. It's a de facto state religion, but we never had a discussion on that. And so that's why, obviously, people who are traditional Christians don't have that interpretation of Scripture, and actually a lot of rabbis don't have this interpretation of Scripture. There's a lot of Jews who do not agree with this particular interpretation. The truth is that this form of Judeo-Christian ideology is used as a tool for control. The Rothschilds, who are the sponsors of the entire Israeli project, who Epstein said he works for them, he represents them, they are using this as a cover, right? Because what does it say in Revelations? It says they claim they are Jews, but they are not. So they're not actually Jews. The Bible says that they're claiming they're Jews, but they're not. And so they're using it as a cover, very similar to how there's a lot of people who are, you know, in this faction who claim to be Christians, but like you said earlier, they're not even Christians. And then there's very, very similar, they have forms of Islam, which are completely at odds with the teachings of Islam historically, but they're claiming to be Muslim. That's why in Lebanon we have a phrase, we call them the thieves of religion. They want to steal the brand. They're hijacking the brand of Judaism. That's what the Rothschilds have done with the Zionist project, that the brand of Judaism itself has been hijacked. And now you have to equate Judaism with Zionism, even if there's tons of rabbis that tell you that's not the correct interpretation of Torah. They don't care. They're just stealing the brand of Judaism. They're stealing the brand of Christianity. They want Christianity to be associated with this. You know, they don't even let you talk about it. And same thing with Islam. They want Islam to just be this Wahhabi, Sunni, radical ideology, which is horrible and is not historically in line with, like, for example, Iran doesn't have that ideology at all. And they want to kill all the Shiites. They're totally bloodthirsty. And the same thing with these Zionist Christians. They're very ruthless against traditional Christians. They absolutely hate traditional Christians. And same thing with the Jews. The Zionists absolutely hate Jews who do not ascribe to Zionism as the end-all, be-all of Jewish theology. So, you know, there's Jews in Israel. They're just brutally oppressed and beat by the Israeli government because they don't support this stuff, right? So they're trying to steal the brand, and they use religion to control people, and it's totally fake. It's totally disingenuous. These people are not actually religious, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but this is very much tied to Freemasons. This is the Freemason religion of a unified global religion, which they call ecumenism, where all these religions are going to morph into one religion because the Antichrist is going to rule in one religion and one government. So they're convening all these religions into one religion, and that's the problem in this country is that these people run this country, and they're very tied to the foundation of a lot of parts of this country. So, you know, even me saying this is very dangerous, even for me, because these people run everything, right? From the police judge to the police chief to the judge to the founder of every town. I mean, they're everywhere. This country is, as we have now exposed, it is a state religion, and this is the official state religion of this country.
And of course, I don't know if you saw, but there's a 20-year serviceman who made a video saying he was investigated. He was being investigated by the U.S. military for his anti-Israel post. He opposed Israel, and now the American government is basically investigating him and possibly going to kick him out of the military because he doesn't support a foreign country. It just shows you how far gone this is. But then you've got things like Marco Rubio saying, well, you know, these Iranians are these crazy religious nut jobs, and there's no negotiating with them because they're, you know, just these religious extremists. Meanwhile, you've got Benjamin Netanyahu giving a speech saying all of Iran is Amalek, and we must fulfill our duty to destroy Amalek. So it's like, I think there's one side that is also very much motivated by an apocalyptic death cult of religious extremism, and it's Israel and the evangelicals who fall for it here in America. It's just wild stuff, John.
I know, it's very dangerous. Like, we're actually putting our lives in danger by talking about this. They absolutely run this country. And we there's a groundswell, an organic movement to try to win this country back. And we have to do it legally. And we have to tell people, and we have to go to court, and we have to say, this is violating my First Amendment right.
Yes.
Because I have freedom of religion. You cannot enforce a state religion upon us. You cannot go to war without a vote according to one particular theology. We do not have a state religion in this country. Remember my debate with Pastor Sam? That's what I was telling him. He went crazy on me.
Yeah, it was a call in to American Journal, and Pastor Sam basically told John that his family in Lebanon deserved to be eradicated in a nuclear cloud because that's what Jesus Christ demands of us. It's just completely insane. But I think you're exactly right. We have to start filing First Amendment lawsuits. We have to start opposing this using the First Amendment because that's exactly what's going on here. They are violating the First Amendment. And I've explained this over and over. I don't even understand how this isn't like common knowledge and just readily understood by everybody. The First Amendment and the freedom of religion means you have the freedom to disobey, to hate, to criticize, or to work against any religion. That's what it means. That's intrinsic to it. It's not like it also means that. No, like that's what it means. If you were in a Catholic place, you wouldn't be allowed to criticize the Catholic Church or question the Catholic Church or not be Catholic. That's the world that we live in, only it's this bizarre and, eschatological or whatever the word is, this death cult apocalyptic form of Judaism that is actually sending our young men to die overseas. Like, we have to oppose this, and we have to do it using the First Amendment because that, at the end of the day, is what's being violated. Incredible stuff, John. Of course, follow John on X at @Lebanon_John. Moonbase.show is where you can find links to the Moonbase, Moonbase Live on Rumble. I do that with Lebanon John about once a week. We're not always the most consistent, but thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Oh, yes. No, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, everyone. And just stick to the stick. Remember, they said we got to get rid of the First Amendment. Remember, they said that. That's because they know that that's their weakness.
100%. 100%. God bless the founding fathers for foreseeing this somehow 250 years ago. Incredible stuff. That was Lebanon John, again, my co-host on Moonbase Live. Follow him at @Lebanon_John. I want to go to a quick video here that is actually a lot of what John was just talking about. The illusion, I think, that Western countries, in particular America, has about their success using bombing campaigns. And just to put this in perspective, before we go to the video, we're going to go to clip 37 here, the escalation trap, a.k.a. the smart bomb trap. Just understand that since October 2023, Israel has poured everything it possibly could into Gaza, and they still have not defeated Hamas. Gaza, I remind you, is a 20-mile square strip of land with no mountains, with no gullies, with no cliffs, with no coverage of any sort. It was an open-air prison whose only geographic feature to give Israel any problems were some tunnels. Now, they think that they're going to destroy Iran using the same tactics and strategy that have failed to take out Hamas. Do you understand how stupid that is? Do you understand that Iran is a country of 90 million people with multiple giant mountain ranges? I mean, it's crazy for these people to think, after failing for 2.5 years to even, you know, damage Hamas to any significant. I mean, they still can't get Hamas to disarm. Hamas is still armed, and it's still like just as numerous as it ever was. So what do they think is going to happen with Iran? You think it's going to be different? You think it's going to be easier with Iran? It's baffling to the point of retardation. Let's go to clip 37 here, the escalation trap that Trump and the Americans may be falling into. Let's watch.
I have studied every air campaign since World War I. This is my specialty. I spent 3 years teaching conventional targeting strategy for the U.S. Air Force. I've studied leadership decapitation in detail. I've modeled the bombing of Fordow, the regime change in Iran, for 20 years. So this is something I know quite a bit about. And literally 10 days ago, I started on Substack the escalation trap because I worried exactly watching the Armada being built, we would fall into the escalation trap. And that's what's happened. We are now in the grip of the escalation trap, or the smart bomb trap, to be more precise, where the illusion of the 100% tactical success, which is real, It's the success of the bombs blowing up the targets is not false. It creates the illusion of control of escalation. And that is the smart bomb trap, and that is what has gripped us right now. And the problem is that once we drop those bombs and once we announce regime change is our goal, and we had no other tools trying to do this from the air, this has never worked in over 100 years. This is not like it works sometimes or rarely works. I'm choosing my words carefully. President Trump is up against the weight of history here. And it's the illusion of the smart bombs being near perfect in destroying their target. And the problem is when those bombs fall, they change politics in the target. They inject nationalism into the regime. They inject nationalism into the society. And they essentially fuse the regime and society against the air power attacker. And this is what you are seeing, because now society and the regime are taking more risky steps. And they do things that no one anticipated before. And that failure to anticipate the worst case, that has happened numerous times with smart bombs. That's just what happened in the last 36 hours.
Yeah. So again, you know, Trump is now facing the weight of history for more than a century. Air campaigns have tried to topple regimes from the sky. The record is brutal. Failure and retaliation, often costly. Putin has tried many times in Kiev, hardening resistance. And of course, that's with sort of a plan from the beginning to have a long-term air campaign. It seems to me like with the scrambling that America is now doing, no more than 3-4 days into this conflict, apparently we are reorganizing THAAD missile launchers, and there's stories of, you know, major naval ships being hurriedly, you know, filled with people and equipment to ship over there. Like, either we thought this was going to be a one and done weekend operation and it would be over, and we failed in that, or this was always meant to be a longer term thing and we just didn't bother to get all the pieces ready. I mean this makes no sense. It can't be both these. Iranian drones and missiles challenge stretched U.S. forces. This is from Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is facing increasing risks to its military forces and diplomatic presence in the Middle East as Iran is launching waves of missile and drone attacks across the region that are testing its ability to defend a swath of territory. And again, they're saying that, you know, Iran doesn't have any launchers left yet, but that's doesn't actually seem to be the case, as you have stories like this. U.S. considers relocating THAAD and Patriots to the Middle East because we are, you know, desperately trying to reorganize our military to deal with this hornet's nest we kicked.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at theofficerscore.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.